This is your warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi. Look both ways before you cross the street while you're skating on thin ice carrying scissors. You're listening to The Final Count.
Hi, this is former WWE superstar Kieran Cross, and you're listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE and TNA Impact superstar Mike Knox, a.k.a. Nux. You are listening to The Final Count. Keep it tuned.
Hey everybody, Anthony Corelli here, formerly known as Santino Morella, and you are listening to The Final Count.
Yo, peeps, you're listening to The Final Count with my boy Ryan right there, bro. So listen, don't forget who's telling you this. It's your boy, Eric.
Hello everybody, it's the Croc Rockin', Nickelback Poppin', Curls for All the Girls, the Perminator, Sam Beal, as seen on Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE superstar Victor, and you are listening to The Final Count.
That's right, wrestling fans. It is that time again. It is the Final Count Spotlight. And on this episode, I am joined by the legendary OVW commentator and ring announcer, Dean Hill. That's right, Dean Hill will be joining me in just a few moments. But first of all, I want to go ahead and thank you for all of your following us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and then also on X. For following us on there, for sharing our post, retweeting or re-Xing, I guess, as you would say now, I guess. And then also sharing on Instagram, on TikTok, all that good stuff, liking it, hearting it, all that good stuff. We want to thank you for all of your support in that way. But then also, we want to thank you for watching us on YouTube. If you have not done so already, you can watch this episode. You can watch this interview, this spotlight on YouTube, but you can't hear what some of the stuff, you can't hear me thanking, you can't hear this, but you can hear the interview with Dean Hill right away on YouTube. It'd be just jump straight into the spotlight interview. But right now, I want to also go ahead and mention and thank you for going to ColinElbowBrand.com and using our promo code to save yourself 10% at checkout. When you do that, you are helping out The Final Count. You are supporting us in that way. And then you are also supporting us when you use our WWE.com affiliate, WWEshop.com affiliate link that is in the description below of this episode. It's in the description of the episode. So when you click that link and you use that link to purchase yourself something from a WWE shop, whether it's that championship belt that you want, whether it's that t-shirt of your Seth Rollins t-shirt that you want, whether it's your new CM Punk shirt that you want, whatever that shirt may be, or that championship belt may be, or that figure, or whatever you're getting on WWEshop.com, when you use our link, you are supporting The Final Count. But then also, want to remind you that you can also now purchase your official The Final Count t-shirt and official The Final Count hoodie as well when you go to jcountyapp.com. Again, that's jcountyapp.com. You can get yourself for $25 your official The Final Count t-shirt. We have them in black, white, and gray. And then we also have your official The Final Count hoodies in black and white. Those are $45. T-shirts, again, are $25, and hoodies are $45. So go ahead to jcountyapp.com and buy yourself a hoodie or t-shirt from our online store at jcountyapp.com. And we thank you in advance for getting your t-shirt. And hey, when you get your t-shirt or hoodie, when you go and make that purchase, take a picture of it. Tag us on social media and let us know, hey, I bought, I now own a The Final Count t-shirt or hoodie or both. Show us a video of you gifting it to someone or a video of them opening it when you give them that gift. Show us a video of you opening that or them opening it, rather, if I can talk. We want to thank you in advance for that. And yeah, again, if you buy one for someone, take a picture of it, take a picture of you wearing it, take a picture of them wearing it, take a picture of them opening a present that is that present and or that gift or whatever you want to say. But yeah, in advance, we thank you in advance for all of that, for all of your support, no matter how much support it is. Even if you just listen, that's support. Even if you just watch or do both. Enjoy this while you're on a road trip. Enjoy the Final Count spotlights and main shows while you're on a road trip. Enjoy it while you're just driving out in the car. Enjoy it while you're just sitting at home. You don't want to watch it. Maybe you want to just listen to it. Go ahead. Do that. It's your choice. But we thank you in advance for any way you choose to support the Final Count. And we appreciate you coming along this ride with us. 2024 is going to be a great, great year. So we've got a lot to look forward to right here at the Final Count. But right now, before we throw it to some plugs, I want to go ahead and encourage you. Grab yourself something cold to drink, good to eat. Sit back and relax and enjoy this episode of the Final Count Spotlight. And I'll be right back with my guest, the legendary OVW commentator and ring announcer, Dean Hill. You can find us on social media by going to facebook.com/thefinalcountky on Facebook, and then on Instagram and Twitter at thefinalcountky, and on YouTube you can find all of our past episodes by just typing in the search bar thefinalcountky. Also, I mentioned we are now on more platforms for podcasts, such as Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, and also on iTunes. So be sure to check us out on all those platforms that you can find podcasts on. The Final Count is on all of those platforms that I just mentioned. I want to go ahead and mention that if you go to ColinElbowBrand.com and use the promo code FinalCountKY, you can save 10% at checkout when you use our promo code, and you will be supporting not only Colin Elbow, but you will also be supporting the Final Count and getting merch and all that good stuff. Colin Elbow has good swag. Definitely recommend it. Very comfortable, great fitting swag, t-shirts and shirts. So definitely go over and check out ColinElbowBrand.com. Use the promo code FinalCountKY, that's in all caps, and save yourself 10% at checkout, and tell them the Final Count sent you, and say hi to Al Snow. But with more, speaking of Al Snow, with more on ColinElbowBrand.com, with more on Colin Elbow, here is Al Snow.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The wrestling brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow. the wrestling brand.
All right, fans, joining me now on this week's The Final Count Spotlight, I am joined by the legendary Dean Hill, who you may know from OVW and Louisville wrestling in general from the Louisville Gardens days. How you doing, Dean?
Doing well, thank you. Appreciate being on your show.
Thank you for joining me. It's glad to have you on. So my first question is, how did you decide to get into the pro wrestling business?
I didn't decide to. It was just all of a sudden opportunity that presented itself. For many years, I ran security at Louisville Gardens and used to walk the bad guys, if you will, to the wrestling ring for Andy Frame Security and for Louisville Gardens. And I got to know Jeff Jarrett's grandmother, Christine, and of course her son, Jerry. And every once in a while, if the ring announcer couldn't make it to Louisville Gardens, they would have the manager of Louisville Gardens, his name was Al Antee, they would have Al to do the ring announcing, and he hated it. And one week, the ring announcer couldn't be there, and they asked me, he said, here, you want to do it? And I said, well, hell, I'm a class clown, and hell yeah, I want to do it. So I did it that night, but I had never watched professional wrestling. My grandfather was a big boxing fan, so we used to watch Saturday Night Boxing. And so I basically went up there, and Jerry Jarrett said, here, just read the card like this and put the people's weight down and here's where they come from. And so I kind of wrote everything down and, I went up and did it. Well, at the end of the night, Jerry's mom, Christine, or they called her Teeny, approached me and said, there's something about your voice. And people say that I don't hear it, but other people do, I guess. Said, there's something about your voice, and the ring announcer can't be here next week either, so would you be interested in doing it next week as well? So I actually went home and for the first time turned on professional wrestling and watched Gordon Solie and Lance Russell and Mean Gene and as much of it as I could soak up. And I went back the next week and in a coat and tie, trying to look a little bit more professional. And I found out that basically if you just lower your voice just a little bit, you can do it. So at the that second week, I went in and a little bit more prepared. And Jerry Jarrett basically told me, here's what you need to know. You say anything that you want to say before you ring the bell, anything that you want to say after you ring the bell when the match is over, but don't say anything at all unless we tell you to in between the bell rings. So that's how I approached it the second week. And at the end of that night, Teeny, if you will, Christine Jarrett, approached me and offered me the job. And that's how I got into professional wrestling.
Awesome. So just throwing in there right there. can you talk about what the days of wrestling at the Louisville Gardens was like every Tuesday night?
I'm sorry, just a little bit soft on your voice. I heard you say something about Louisville Gardens, but I couldn't tell the first part.
Yeah, can you talk about what those days were like, the Tuesday nights at the Gardens?
It was when you're in it, when you're just starting and you're not 100% sure about professional wrestling, it's just another night after another night after another night. But when you, in the future, reflect back on it, then you realize really how special it was because of the people that later in life became mega superstars in professional wrestling that were just average guys average, haha. But at the time, you didn't know how big they were going to be. I mean, I was honored to have introduced some of the most, some of the biggest professional wrestlers of all times. And also a lot of people that were in the business for a year and unfortunately forgot about, and I hope all of them are well, but it just depends upon who they were and how things worked out. I mean, for instance, I had the honor to announce a gentleman by the name of Flex Cavana when he first started professional wrestling. He went on to become somebody called The Rock. I introduced the Master of Pain from the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary. He went on to become The Undertaker. I announced a gentleman by the name of Stunning, Steve Austin. I announced one gentleman when they first brought him in. It was during the Christmas season. And he always say, you know, if he hears this, I'm sure he's cringing that I'm the one that tells his story. I've told it on a couple of other podcasts, but they brought him out dressed like a Christmas tree and they called him the Christmas creature. And he went on to become Kane. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people that, especially through my years of my connections with Nightmare Danny Davis and the Hustler Rip Rogers, through Ohio Valley Wrestling, where I got the honor of introducing the Prototype, which became John Cena, Leviathan, which became Dave Bautista, Randy Orton, Shelton Benjamin, Rico Constantino. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But back in the day at Louisville Gardens with obviously Jerry the King Lawler and the superstar Bill Dundee and Dirty Dutch Mantel and a ton of others. I mean, I used to have, I don't know where I've lost it over the years, but I used to have two full high school pages of just list after list, name after name after name of people that I had announced at Louisville Gardens. Probably one of the biggest men that was one of the most agile men that I saw during that time was Bam Bam Bigelow. For him to take the size that he was, and he could catapult himself over the top rope. It was just an amazing athlete.
Yes, yes. That sounds like some great days right there. And like you said, you got to see these people before they were known nationally, internationally. Like, that's amazing. Talk about OVW. How did your time in OVW come to be?
I was approached, well, actually, the story is, many years ago, I was a Louisville City police officer, and I was at work one day riding in the 16th and Portland area, and I saw somebody in a building, then the building wasn't necessarily abandoned, but there hadn't been any type of a business in this building for a little while, and when I saw the activity inside the building, I immediately got my attention, and I pulled over and I was walking up to see what was going on there. And the guy turned around. It was Nightmare Danny Davis. And, you know, what are you doing? And he said, hey, I've decided that I'm at the stage of my life where I am ready to get off of the road. And I'm going to start a training center. I've got some ideas of what I'm wanting to call it. And I've got a couple of people that I'm talking to about being my partner. But right now I'm just looking for a building and I'm looking at this one. And I used to drive by and just kind of keep an eye on it. But it wasn't too long after that, that he decided to move that over into Southern Indiana from, Northern Louisville. And he went over to a place called the Quadrangle off of, I think it's off Court Avenue, I believe. I think so. Yeah. And he started out on one side of it called Watt Street, and he had just a little small building. Well, the Quadrangle is a massive complex, kind of designed like a big horseshoe, for lack of a better term. And it was divided into multiple smaller rooms inside of it. And when I say room, I'm talking about, you know, 80 foot wide by 100 feet long by 15 foot tall ceilings. It was a big areas. And he started off on one side and then had the opportunity to move onto the other side of the quadrangle and off of, I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was Mechanic Street. And that building was, that room was bigger, allowed him to put a full size wrestling ring in there. And then part of training young men and women that wanted to be professional wrestlers, you don't just teach them how to lock up collar and elbow and how to do this and do that. You also have to teach them how to interact with a crowd. So that gave Danny the ability to bring in a crowd. So there's a, he called for a meeting and I went to it. And as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, I think we were having dinner at what was like Joe's Crab Shack down at on River Road on the Ohio River. And the Hustler Rip Rogers was there. And if I'm remembering this correctly, I think it was my birthday, and when it was like a little surprise birthday party, my the lady that was my wife at the time, my mother, was there, and they were there. And I thought, well, what a surprise for those guys to be there. And during this conversation, he basically said, I'm looking to start a TV show. I'm looking to start a wrestling event on Sunday nights. The TV show came later. And I'm wanting to know if you might be interested in being a part of it. And I said, well, I work for USWA at Louisville Gardens. He said, well, let me see what I can do. So he contacted me not too long afterwards and said, I've talked to Lawler, and Lawler has given me their permission to use you. So I was going to Louisville Gardens on Tuesday nights, and then on Sunday nights, I would go over to Mechanic Street at the Quadrangle, and I would do OVW shows, and basically just started out as just being the ring announcer. From that came a point where Danny approached me and said, I'm wanting to start a television show, and I want you to do it. You're the only guy that can do it. There's a lot of people that could do this. No, because you're the face. You're the voice. You're the people. You're the person that people remember from Louisville Gardens. So that's our way of getting fans from Tuesday nights to come on Sunday nights. And that's how OVW started. And there was a time that you would pull into the back of the Quadrangle, or the back door of the building, and where it was kind of a secluded area, and none of the fans could really get back there to that. They all had to go around to the other side of the building to come in the front door, so the wrestlers could come in the back door. And a lot of them would sit out back and get into their outfits and et cetera out back. I mean, people like Trailer Park Trash and some of the other, Nick Dinsmore and Rob Conway and all those guys that started back then that became notable in OVW. But there was also a night that I just pulled up in my pickup truck and got out, and I had three guys come up and introduce themselves to me. And that was John Cena, Brock Lesnar, and Randy Orton. Oh, wow. And this was all because of Jim Cornette. Jim, I first met him at Louisville Gardens when he was a 15-year-old young man with a camera. He was taking pictures at ringside. His mother was dear friends with Christine Jarrett. And so she would come down there and help Christine sell pictures at the photo table at Louisville Gardens. And then Jim would take pictures around the ring and I guess picked up a little money or whatever by selling those pictures at the table. Through the years, Jim became who Jim Cornette is. He could speak for 30 minutes nonstop and never say the same thing twice and keep you on the edge of your seat the entire time. But he went to, obviously, the WWF at the time, became WWE, and his mother was having some health issues. He was concerned about her, and he wanted to come back to Louisville to be near his mom. And so during that period, he contacted Jim Ross and some of the others for the WWE, and he is the one that basically helped OVW become a training center for the WWE. And that's when they sent us all these different young men, and some made it big time world famous. Some was made it for a couple of years and then for whatever reason dwindled out. Some are became movie stars. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it really is. Now, do you remember your first that first wrestling show down at the Gardens? Do you remember what that was like? What it was like to be a part of it?
I remember it was a scary blast because I had no clue what I was doing. So I'm just going into the ring, you know, thinking to myself, okay, don't say a wrong word. I mean, don't, like, you know, if the guy's name is Schmidt, don't call him Schmutt, you know, that kind of a thing. Because I really didn't know anybody. Jerry said, here, write down their hometown, write down their weight. This guy's the one half of the tag team champions. This guy is the heavyweight champion. Just make sure you say that. Always, if a champion is in the ring, basically, I think what it was you always introduced the bad guy first and introduced the good guy second. That was kind of the formula that I was taught. So the first time was very cool because, hell, I'm in a ring with, you know, 2,000 people watching me. So for somebody that was a class clown, that was an amazing moment. But at the same time, I was shaking in my boots because I didn't want to screw up.
I can imagine that many people watching you. Oh, my goodness. I can definitely imagine. Now, you also have experience, you know, as a commentator and commentating a lot in OVW. Which do you prefer, commentary or ring announcing?
The ring announcing was a great way to start because it was simple and it allowed me to just kind of get out of the way and get in there and announce who they are and then get out of the way and just say something if I'm told to say it. And then announce the winner at the end and go on to the next match. When I started doing TV for OVW, I had no one really to teach me how to do that. This was just a situation where Danny would just say, we're going to say this and then this. Try to, you know, if you... At the time, I really did not really even know a lot of the moves, what they were called, like, you know, the shooting star press and stuff like that. Because at Louisville Gardens, I forget what it's called, but because it was so many years ago, but Scott Steiner had changed a certain move into what he called the Frankensteiner. And so I was trying to learn this stuff. At the same time, I found out that you could talk over some people's heads. And if you use $40 words, you don't want to lose them while they're looking up what the heck you said in the dictionary so they can follow you. So I found that it was much simpler just to talk to, the wrestling fans, just like you'd be talking to your friends.
Yeah.
And it made it simpler. And a lot of times, you know, just, oh my God, you know, that kind of stuff. Pardon me. it just, it added to the excitement of it. So basically it was kind of like you're taking the excitement that they're seeing on TV and just letting it react through your own voice as you're watching it. So it's, I kind of approached it like, hey, we're all in the same living room watching this match in our own living room. And that seemed to appeal to the people that were listening to OVW because it was just a natural conversation. Then when, I've been honored to work at, do play-by-play and color with some people that were fantastic. Les Thatcher, Rip Rogers, Dutch Mantel for one time. And then of course I got into my years with Jim Cornette, even did a stint with Al Snow, which is a dear friend. And then, they brought, Kenny Bolin in for a while. And then, of course, Kenny was, the perfect, heel play-by-play guy because everybody loved to hate Kenny and he loved that they did. And then there was a night that it was a Wednesday night, and I was leaving for the night and it was just a little rainy outside. And I was approached by this young man that said, hi, I'm so-and-so. I want to become your partner. How do I become your partner? And I said, well, I'm leaving some stuff out because I want it to be a little bit more of a surprise for those that may not know who it is. I said, well, bring me a tape. And I will give it to, of course, Cornette was working with us then. I will give it to Jim and to Danny, and they can take a look at it. So they did, and he was such a wordsmith. He was an obvious fit. And they approached Kenny and said, we're going to bring this young man in to work with Dean. And with Kenny, we want you to go back to the wrestling ring because we want you to go back to being a manager again because they needed that role filled. So when this man approached me, he said, I'm a news anchor in Charleston, West Virginia. And, he drove to Louisville, Kentucky for like a month or two every, afternoon to do the TV show with me that night and then drove back to Charleston, West Virginia. And at a certain point, he applied for a position in Louisville and WDRB hired him. And of course, I'm talking about Gilbert Corsi.
Yeah.
And Gilbert and I worked together for quite a while. I even had they had another little show that they were doing while OVW was going on. It was kind of like a little side show they called Derby City Wrestling. And Timmy Baltimore was part of that, and Twinkle Toes. Martin was a great young man. He went on to back to London and works now for the BBC. So, and you know, Gilbert at one point said, you know, I want to go to the WWE. I want to be an announcer there. I want to do play by play there. That was always his dream. I said, you could do that if you want to, but I'll tell you quite honestly, I think you're fantastic, but you're an amazing news reporter. And if you stay in Louisville, you could be a news reporter here in Louisville for the rest of your life and write your ticket here in Louisville, Kentucky, and be famous here in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
You can go to the WWE and you might be famous there for a year, but then again, they might replace you in 2 years. And then what? And I'm sure it wasn't because of what I told him, but it did work out that, Gilbert became, you know, quite the force in WDRB and has won many Emmy awards here and, met and married his wife here and they've got twin girls. It's been, quite a life change that I played a very small part in it.
Yeah.
Yes, and still is to this day, and I love that. And I love that you mentioned with your commentary that you made it personal for those that are listening, or those that were listening to OVW commentary, because something I really loved about your commentary was when you would promote the shows, you would say, you know, grab the kids out of the tub. You would be something along the lines of this: grab the kids out of the tub, wake up grandpa, grab the kids out of the tub, bring them on down to the show. And I loved that. I loved that. I always enjoyed that.
I haven't heard that in years. I'd forgotten about it, but yeah, that was just, you know, just a little something I would say. It made it, you know, I guess that's what made me the honor of being special to them.
Yes, exactly. Now I want to ask you about this. We remember Johnny Jeter had a big heel run back in 2005. And I remember there's a certain night, we all remember that night, where he attacked, God rest his soul, Matt Capitelli. And then had a confrontation with yourself. Can you go back to that night with me?
Paul Heyman was in OVW for that period of time. And he had approached me and said, do you have any problem dropping the F-bomb? And I said, well, I was a inner city police officer for many years. That used to be part of asking for the driver's license. And so they basically wanted me to have that confrontation with Jeter. And as that occurred, when I walked away from him, I realized that perhaps I did not do it as dramatically as what they would have preferred. And so I turned around and I walked back up to him, and I dropped the F-bomb on him big time. And as I turned to walk away, there was a 7-year-old boy on the front row that was doing the Macaulay Culkin. And I thought, okay, well, I must have done it right. But it was a moment that, you know, I don't know if it's still on YouTube or not. They may have taken it off. I don't know. But there's a few things that you can still kind of look up Dean Hill on YouTube. And I'm honored the night that the Moondogs beat the living snot out of me at Louisville Gardens and things like that. So, but yeah, that was a special moment. And Johnny's doing well. I think he lives in San Diego, California now, and wish him the best.
Yes, and he has a school of his own now as well.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
Yeah. Can you talk about how the fans of Louisville that have known you not only for your time in OVW, but also for that iconic, and it's not there anymore, but that iconic handlebar mustache?
I was the kind of person that always, I wanted to be different. When everybody was clean shaven, I wanted to have the mustache. That was just the kind of person I am. I wanted to be different. So I just kind of let it grow out. It drove the police department crazy. I used to get gigged on it every time they had an inspection, because you weren't supposed to be allowed to have that, but I had it. And it just, you know, back then I wore glasses and I had that. It was just something that made me stand out or be a little bit different than the average person. Matter of fact, I was approached a couple of different times about people that wanted to shave it off of me. But it never really did make much sense back then. And then they had a situation just after 9-1-1. It's not 9-1-1, 9-11, I should say, after they flew the airplanes into the towers. that they brought out a group of wrestlers called the Insurgency. And as a matter of fact, there was one young man that had made it to the next level, and they were getting ready to bring him out on national TV, not for OVW, but at an upper level. And they had to cancel that because like 2 days before, they flew the airplanes into the towers, and they were afraid that if he walked down the aisle, somebody'd shoot him. Anyway, we ended up after things had simmered down from 9/11, the Insurgency with Ben Hameen and Muhammad Ali, Vaez, those young men. They even had Serena Deeb as one of their ladies. There's another gentleman that was involved whose name escapes me. I apologize to you, sir. But they had a little thing that was going. One thing led to another, and they ended up putting me in the camel clutch and cutting the mustache off of me in the ring. And matter of fact, Ben Hameen got it off the wrestling mat and put it in a plastic bag. And then at some point down the line, they took it and they glued it to a piece of wood, and it became a plaque in the background of OVW that not very many people knew about that.
Wow. Oh, wow. And then that would lead into Shave in the Cage, where you would get your revenge on Ben Hameen.
Yeah. And they had Turk work with me for a little while. But I was never a trained wrestler. The couple of things that I did with USWA, even the one time that I was honored to go to the ring with Handsome Jimmy Valiant as my partner, I basically had to be hand walked through it because I was never a trained wrestler. I was strictly a talker. And I was told that it was because of the fact that I was just a talker is what made it believable to the fans.
Yes, yes. That makes sense. Now, I want to give you the chance to plug. I know you have a book out. I want to give you a chance to plug. Where can fans find or go and purchase your book?
Thank you for bringing that up. I know that we're getting ready to end here in a minute. Yeah. I was very honored. There's a gentleman by the name of John Cosper, C-O-S-P-E-R, that wrote some books about professional wrestling in Louisville. And during the time that he was researching that, it's called Bluegrass Brawlers. And he actually interviewed me one time, and I was just honored to be on like page 183 of Bluegrass Brawlers. Many years later, somebody had put on Facebook about meeting a celebrity and how cool that was. And I mentioned to him about, I once met Frank Sinatra. I thought that was pretty cool. And this person wrote back, well, you've met so many people and done so many things in your life that you should write a book. And I wrote back, who the hell would want to read a book about my life? A couple of days later, John Cosper reached out to me and said, because of your years of being a police officer, your years of running security at Louisville Gardens, your years in professional wrestling, and other things that you've done, I think there could be a book about your life. And are you kidding me? He said, no, if you don't mind, I'd like to write it. I'm very honored. It's called See You at Ringside. And if you go to, I think it's on Amazon, but it's also, if you go to Eat, Sleep, Wrestle, all one word, eatsleepwrestle.com, you can not only find that book there, but there's a lot of other books about professional wrestling and professional wrestlers that if you're a big fan, it might be something very interesting to you.
All right. And fans, I definitely encourage you to go purchase that book of Dean Hill and support Dean Hill in this way. And then, Dean, I want to ask you real quick, How can fans find you on social media?
Well, I don't do anything other than Facebook. I don't tweet and Instagram, and there's just too many things to worry about. I got a lot of other irons still in the fire. If you pretty much just go to Dean Hill on Facebook, usually I'm the first one that comes up, and you now know what I look like, so you'll be able to easily find me. If you send me a friend request, I'll be glad to accept it. Thank you so much for mentioning that.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. And at this time, I'd like to thank you for coming on The Final Count and being my guest on this week's The Final Count Spotlight. You're welcome to come back anytime.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I'm Dean Hill. See you at ringside.
There you have it, fans. That was my interview with the legendary OVW commentator and ring announcer, Dean Hill. But right now, I'd like to thank Dean for coming on the show on this episode of the Final Count Spotlight. And right now, I'd like to announce, on the next Spotlight, I'll be joined by the Deputy of Professional Wrestling, Tyler Lee Deputy. That's right, Tyler Lee Deputy will be on the next The Final Count Spotlight. So I want to encourage you to come back for the next Spotlight and also come back for our weekly reviews as well. But without any further ado, as I say, every episode and every week, we will see you down the road.